Around the NFL podcast. Loves animals.
Oh, true.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast presented by Head & Shoulders. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Connie Fox, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, people?
Hey! Why'd you close my computer?
Yeah, that was...
Now I gotta log back in. It's a whole process.
That was a hostile way to open the show.
An act of aggression.
Total act of aggression. How are you feeling, Connie? I'm feeling not great. Do you want to tell the audience how you spent your Monday night?
I drank a bottle of wine and ate a bag of chocolate-covered popcorn.
that's doing some work on your insides on Tuesday morning.
I don't feel great.
How big of a bag?
A little sluggish. The bag, it actually was... caramel covered and chocolate covered.
Good God.
I know.
And if you're watching the
I don't have self control.
If you're watching the Around the NFL podcast video show, which airs 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, Colleen wearing a velour matching sweatsuit.
It's not matching.
Top and bottom.
It's not matching. I have jeans on. No, I have to prove
don't
this. I have
it.
Jeans on.
It's from the.
Can't even see. There we go.
It's from the Tannenbaum collection, I believe.
Yeah.
It's Adidas. Everybody get off my back.
It looks like it's from some sort of medieval kingdom.
That's what Mark said. He's like, I thought it was like a medieval jacket you had on.
Is that what people wore during medieval times?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, Adidas tracksuits.
If you were in the right caste system, yes.
Jam-packed show, people, coming up today. It is the Tuesday show. We get Colleen for the next, 12 minutes or so.
Awesome.
So let's go through what we're going to talk about today. Monday Night Football, of course. We do that every Tuesday. A NFC South battle between the Falcons and Bucks. Atlanta staying in the chase. Also, with the playoffs less than a month away. Yeah, a couple weeks away.
It's coming down to it.
Two weeks.
So we're going to talk about the playoff matchups we'd like to see in January. And at the end of the show, have a little fun. Kobe, this is why Colleen deemed it necessary to get bombed on a Monday night and gorge herself on chocolate, is because Kobe Bryant had his extravagant, or the Lakers, I should say, had a extravagant Kobe Bryant jersey numbers retirement ceremony. So we'll talk about some NFL jersey numbers we'd like to see.
So over the top.
All I'd say is, had there been no Kobe related event, I still feel like Colleen would have gone down the same road, attaching it to some other television show or something to watch.
Yeah, Monday Night Football.
There you go. So that's our show today, and we're going to do some news as well. What's going on around the NFL? You see how it all ties together, Greg?
Finally, the payoff.
The payoff.
Brought it back.
And if Colleen's Andrew Dice Clay matching sweatsuit is not enough to get you to check out the video show this week, Mark Sessler has broken out his Christmas brown sweater.
The two of us next to each other.
Yeah, I had my children laughing at me as I was exiting.
You
the
love
house
this
today.
Sweater.
I mean, it's fine. I will say I made a massive mistake because I already always feel hot in this studio. And going sweater on top of long sleeve shirt, I've got the sleeves rolled up. I'm already feeling this was a horrible decision. We have endless video things to do today.
Those sweaters don't breathe very well.
Not at all.
They're really hot.
Your collar's kind of
and they're an eyesore.
Crazy.
This particular sweater, my friend is a Cowboys one. It couldn't look more fantastic. I got this.
In the words of Keith Hansis, you look sharp.
Well, thank you, Keith. Not sure. Keith might be the second colorblind person in this podcast.
Let's get into Monday Night Football.
With 5 seconds left, snap, spot, try is away by Murray, and it is good. No good. Missed it to the right. Looked like it had the distance, and Murray misses at the horn.
Oh, and the laugh at the end, too.
How to kill your radio audience.
Yeah, the radio guy has to get that call right. Plus, it wasn't one of those ones where it was, surprising. You could tell it was pushing right, but maybe he didn't have... Was that a Gene Deckerhoff special?
It depends where he was, in the stadium, probably, too.
Hopefully in the announcer's booth, I would assume, but...
Sometimes it's a tricky angle, right?
Yes. Anyway, the
it's
Bucks...
It's impossible to tell.
And Patrick Murray could not... convert a 54-yard field goal as time expired to end the fourth quarter. The kick sailed wide right, and the Atlanta Falcons escape with a 24-21 win over the Bucks on Monday Night Football at the old Pirate Ship.
Correct.
What's the name of that facility?
Raymond James Stadium.
Raymond mm-hmm. James Stadium.
I don't know if that's still.
It was that, at least, if it's not still.
How did the Falcons win? Ooh, well, bad. They leaned on Devonta Freeman, who rushed for 126 yards and a touchdown. He was making plays all night. The Falcons had a 10-point lead and then almost let it slip away, but they hung on to win. 5 wins in 6 games. So they remain 1 game behind the Saints and Panthers in the division standings, Greg Rosenthal. Were you impressed with what you saw from the defending conference champs on Monday?
No, but I'm not surprised. And I don't throw away these division games, but I try not to just like grade them. It's not like figure skating where we're giving them a 7.4. Ultimately, they swept the Bucks over the last 4 weeks. As bad teams go, the Bucks are a little feisty. Jameis Winston certainly played one of, if not his best game of the season last night. And in the end, the Falcons got the job done. My concerns with them have been over the course of the season, not so much this game, but I still think they have a chance to make some noise over the next 2 weeks in bigger division games.
Well, and yeah, I mean, had that kick been good and they somehow found a way to lose in overtime, it would have been a devastating
yes.
loss for Atlanta. You now, you know, with one more win, you're in the playoffs, and that likely means we don't get the Lions or some lesser team that we don't want to watch. But you got the Saints in New Orleans next week, and then you're home against Carolina. You're basically your playoff.
Starts now.
It starts right here.
That was a huge game for them. I mean, they eliminated the Packers. Now they're done, and they're out of it. So we'll get to that in a second. But Devonta Freeman, what a game he had. The way that he ran in this game, it was amazing. I mean, he was – they do a segment on Good Morning Football with angry runs. Like, that was him game. He was so aggressive. But the thing that I really took away from this game, you mentioned it, Greg, Jameis Winston, you know, he looked good. The offense looked good.
He played
but
great.
It was because the Falcons secondary, I don't know what's going on with them. They were getting picked apart.
That's my concern watching them all season long. At no point has their defense looked better than a year ago, which I have a hard time figuring out because it's a young group. They look deep on paper. It's a coaching staff that's had them for 3 years. And I was expecting their defense to get better, and that was what would make up for their offense falling off. And that hasn't happened, and you saw it again last night, and that's why I don't feel too good about it.
Well, and at no point has the offense been better than last year's offense, outside of maybe a game here and there. Not better.
Yeah.
I mean, it's and this is one of the few off-season narratives that got hammered into the ground ridiculously with the Steve Sarkisian replacing Kyle Shanahan, but it has played out because, as Chris Wessling and our friend pointed out last night too, that these receivers are not seeing the open windows that they were with Kyle Shanahan.
Against the Bucs team, not good on defense, and missing some of their
themselves.
Best players.
Yeah.
Many of their best players.
It seems like we let him off the hook, but I don't think Matt Ryan, I don't think he's having a good season. I don't think he had a great game yesterday either.
He
makes plays every week, whether it's an ability to scan the field, find an open receiver, scramble when he has to, move up in the pocket and deliver a pass. Like, oh yeah, that's why he's an MVP in the past. That's why he's regarded as one of the best quarterbacks. But all season, this guy misses throws, misses opportunities to put a game away. He is not the same quarterback he was last year. And we saw it again last night. Did you know he hasn't had a game once all season where he's thrown 3 touchdowns in a game? He has never really had a dominant effort. And his stat line yesterday, and I tweeted about it, he's had, and Greg, we talked about it because he was my fantasy quarterback before I went out in flames last week.
Bummer.
So I tracked him extremely closely statistically. Every week, it's something like 17 of 28 for 190 to 220 yards and 1 or 2 touchdowns, maybe an interception. He's just had kind of a blah season.
Yeah, the offense, too, I think for a while there, they weren't really incorporating the running backs as much as they were last year under Shanahan, and now we're sort of seeing it a little bit more. But Taylor Gabriel, where has he been?
Right.
He was one of the guys last year that was a huge surprise for the offense, and you don't see him involved really at all now.
Well, Ryan hasn't played well. The worst game of the season that he had was against New Orleans, which they won. And I would say the last 3 weeks, after what I believe had been a really good stretch of play, despite the numbers not being great, I think he's played worse over the last 3 weeks. I mean, the most exciting thing that he did all last night, the most fiery thing we saw from the Falcons offense in what was kind of a dead stadium, was his pre-snap yelling at his teammate.
Let's listen to that.
In their win.
Get
oh.
set!
Someone's not happy with the alignment.
I love that.
Get
I love
set. You know, someone told me, a sparrow told me.
The McDonough response is fantastic.
Not happy. Yeah, Ryan. Not, yeah, he said it so calmly. Ryan not happy with the alignment. He did. He circled back to it, too. He kind of said, you ever talk like that on the sideline, John?
Yeah. A sparrow told me, and this is not deep old Zeuser sourcing, just a sparrow that I was in conversation
with. An actual bird this time.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a bird. No, not a wing creature, a human. Told me that Matt Ryan, and maybe this would surprise you, is one of the nastiest people on the field in how he speaks to his teammates, how he speaks to the opponent. He has an intensity about him on the field, an edge that clearly, as soon as that happened, I was like, oh, okay.
There it is.
Here's a little peek behind the curtain. And it was kind of terrifying. Like, I don't want to be Matt Ryan's dad. Like, imagine, like,
you think he yells at his dad like
imagine,
that?
Or his child,
his
you mean?
His child. Yeah. I don't, like, I was like, what did I say?
His dad. I mean,
no, he yell at your dad
maybe
like
he,
that?
Maybe he, you know, maybe he orders up. Maybe,
yeah,
he,
I don't want to be Matt Ryan's son is what I'm saying. Is
clean the table.
Because if you, like, break a window or, you know, put magic marker on the couch, what's Matty Ryan going to do when you hear something like that? Yeah, what most new is like crying probably. Well, under the helmet.
I would counter with this. You probably would grow up to be like 6'6" and like be an incredible, you know, quarterback from
that solves
age
everything.
Like 14 on.
Ask right. Todd Marinovich if you know.
Oh my God, well,
that was a dad issue for sure. So fair point.
Any other thoughts about this game before we move on? We have a lot to get to. Jameis Winston did play great in this game.
And yet it's ultimately, it's a nice little thing to put a ribbon on going into your offseason in which you're going to have a complete coaching overhaul and have to learn a new offense probably.
Well, I think the last thing I would say is how strange this game was because John Gruden was getting put into their ring of honor at halftime. The crowd has been chanting Gruden's name in recent weeks. There's rumors, as it seems like there always is, that Gruden's going to return there. He's announcing the game for the guy who's about to get fired. Meanwhile, like the Falcons have Bucks guys on their staff, Raheem Morris. The entire Bucks staff is a bunch of ex-Falcons guys, Mike Smith. It's like, leave each other alone, Bucks and Falcons.
Yeah,
it's like
please.
Too much. It was very
incestuous.
I didn't like that whole thing.
Yeah.
Strange. Very true. Very true. All right. Let's move on to the news, guys.
Greg is fired up.
Gruden wants back in. You can tell.
Okay, y'all. This is just in breaking news. The North Carolina Panthers. Okay? North Carolina Panthers are up for sale.
There he is.
Also, the South Carolina Panthers. The Carolina Panthers up for sale.
Yeah,
that was Puff Daddy, of course, who's throwing his hat in the ring to be the owner of the next owner of the Carolina Panthers. And it was reported on Monday by our own Judy Batista that Jerry Richardson is stepping aside from day-to-day control of the team effective immediately in order to focus on the team's sale. Tina Becker, old Tina Becker, 20-year employee with the team, will be the Panthers' chief operating officer with full control of the organization, the team announced. This comes following the investigation that the NFL is running into the affairs going on behind the scenes with Richardson and some allegations against him of impropriety. So that is the situation. Tina Becker in the big chair.
I think it's kind of a cool story, actually.
Yeah.
She's been with the team since she started as part of their cheerleading troupe and moved into the business side.
Do they call it cheerleading troupe?
I don't know. They actually have an actual Panthers cheerleading.
Well, the official name is the Top Cats.
Everyone. She was a Top Cat.
I didn't
Top Cat.
She moved. She's had a number of different business roles.
And now she's
the
Top Cat.
I think she's seen how everything's worked, and this is cool.
I think we can close the show.
Yes, Stan, it was a great joke.
Stan,
not a joke.
Play
on words.
What do you mean, joke, Mark?
I don't know.
She's the Top Cat.
She is the Top Cat.
That's really
awesome.
Trying
to give her some props. I think this is one of the more unusual ways to become an NFL owner. You don't see things happen this way to take control of a team.
But I think it's pretty cool too, just because
not an ideal way to take control of a team, but
the way that she's grown with the franchise, she's been involved in so many different facets of the business there. And I think that can only help in any situation.
Right.
When you are like involved on so many different levels and so many different ways, you really know the people and what's going on.
Yeah, most owners come in and it takes them 3 or 4 years. This was even true of the Patriots owner, that glorious individual. It takes a couple years to figure out what the heck the job is.
Right, but they're going to have a new owner very soon.
They will.
Right.
I'm just saying.
So
does any of this matter that Tina Becker's in charge?
It's a strange time because you never know how long that process is going to take. There's already, you know, being some names leaked out, you know, in addition to P. Diddy, you know, of who maybe will try to buy it. Former owner, you know, we'll see. It's going to take a little while to play out, but it's a very strange situation because the Panthers, with Cam Newton playing so well, are very much in the Super Bowl hunt.
Yeah.
Like, they can very much win that division, and if he plays the way he's been playing, they're going to keep playing. So it's just strange. I can't remember anything like it.
Diddy? Do we go – you dropped a P. Diddy. Is he still using P. Diddy, or is it just Diddy now?
Well, he was going to change his name to, like, Love Jones or something totally bizarre the other week, and I think it got so much blowback that he never did
it. It was Brother Love.
Brother
the
Love.
The reason why
Love
it was Jones. An issue is because there's already a Brother Love wrestler.
Oh.
Well, he was like the guy with the red face, right?
Yes.
He was like an announcer.
He was wrestler slash valet slash manager.
Oh, a real renaissance man.
Bruce Pritchard. He's one of the best.
He passed away recently.
No,
didn't
he didn't.
Oh.
No, he didn't.
I mean,
Bruce
I've never really.
Podcast.
Lindsay all plugged in. That's why she's our wrestling insider.
Amazing.
I've never really forgiven, you know, Diddy for rhyming late at night when we pray for you. Every day we pray for in the Biggie, you know, tribute song.
Yeah.
Come on, buddy.
I will go with his greatest sin was using the Led Zeppelin Jimmy Plant riff for the Godzilla soundtrack, Come With Me.
Ooh. Yeah, that was a bad
one. I would imagine Gloria Stefan is irate that she's sort of been swept aside here as like the first musician attempting to take over a team.
Well, every musician in popular culture owns the Dolphins by percentage points. Anyway, in other Panthers news, they're not going to have Thomas Davis for the rest of the regular season, at least as things currently stand. The league announced Monday that Davis, their veteran linebacker, will be suspended the final two games of the regular season for the helmet-to-helmet cheap shot on Devontae Adams that left the Packers wide receiver with a concussion. Rap Sheet reported Davis plans to appeal the ban, and we'll see what happens. If upheld, he won't be eligible to return until January 1st, which would coincide with a potential playoff run for the Panthers. So we'll see if we see Thomas Davis again. I would guess the way these things usually work is it'll get knocked down to a game and we'll see him in week 17, but who knows?
It might do him a favor. Thomas Davis has not been the same player for the last month. He's been fighting through a hamstring injury. He was struggling. I would say he was borderline exposed in the Saints game. It might help him take a – I'm not saying he wants this, but he's an important player to their team who's clearly playing hurt and is not at his usual form. So maybe a week or two off.
It brings back, though, because this was big on Twitter yesterday, the concept that Gronk got one game for what he did. And then this was a bad hit, too. I mean, I have no problem with this getting two. Probably will get could get reduced to one.
Because he's a repeat offender. It's because he's been suspended. He's been punished for this.
That's fair, too.
That's their reason.
But that doesn't make what Gronk versus other suspensions we've seen makes zero sense. It is completely confusing.
The reason is if it was two games, Gronk wouldn't be available for the Steelers game.
What a difference he made.
And the league is in cahoots to keep the Patriots atop for monetary reasons.
Well, you've lifted the lid on that.
Yeah.
I agree with your theory.
Do you agree with that theory, Greg? Rosenthal?
No. I'm going to go with the
bad theory.
Prior.
Greg sides with the man.
And by the way, one last note on that. The league gets a ton of blowback about you guys don't do enough to protect the players. The players got to protect the players. And that was a totally unnecessary shot against Adams, who had a terrifying concussion a couple weeks back. And, you know, come on.
He said three total. I mean,
that was
shelf life with these concussions. You can't, you know.
Ezekiel Elliott is back with the Dallas Cowboys. His suspension is over. And, Mark, you are going to Cabo after the season ends. And you will be alone, number one.
Right. That's vacation one of seven in this offseason.
Number two, you will have a drink in your hand. Number three.
What kind of drink will you have in your hand?
I don't know. You seem to be the expert on. Why don't you suggest something for me?
I'm trying to get the full picture.
This is a raging mythology that not a single ounce of it is true or possible.
Let's say pina colada.
Okay.
The cherry on top, frozen pina colada, just soaking in the rays after a long, hard season of work. Well, Zeke Elliott also was in Cabo, but no pina coladas or pina colada.
It should be a
the squig.
A piña colada.
Shout out to the Mexican listeners.
Sounds gross, though. Pina colada sounds a little better.
Yeah. Anyway, Elliot was in Cabo. He was training, though. And you guys see the photos of Zeke on the beach?
He's guy's jacked.
Completely ripped right now. I actually went on my honeymoon to Cabo, and I did not come back looking like this. That's for sure.
It would have been weird if you had.
A lot of wine and chocolate nuts or whatever it was.
What is happening?
A huge beard.
What did you have last night?
I don't know, Dan.
Caramel.
Chocolate-covered popcorn.
Oh, same. Close enough. Anyway, so Zeke Elliott is in great shape, and Dez Bryant, everyone's all excited to get him back, and the Cowboys have a chance to make the playoffs. Isn't it kind of weird? Does anybody else think it's weird that Zeke reported to training camp at the start of the season and he was not in good shape?
The last 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
So then he gets suspended for off-the-field issues, and then he's like,
well,
I'm going to take this to be ripped up. I don't know.
What? Why not use that as motivation, though?
Like, I think it would point to maturity, that like maybe he wasn't taking his body and his conditioning as seriously, but he sees now that there are consequences, and that he's hungry to come back and drop a hammer.
Well, it's not an excuse at all, but his legal situation was unfolding throughout the offseason in a different way, whereas now it's not part of his daily life. It's kind of settled.
Just having
I think the bigger if I was a Cowboys, I'd be more worried about Tyron Smith missing this game than Zeke Elliott
this
helps you
weird split screen on the video show.
I've observed this video show on our site a few times.
What is that?
You're the one.
It's constantly they have Greg and I, and I like it. It's a little bit
Christian. Is it possible that Colleen and I could get a split screen?
No, I think not actually
possible.
I think whoever is making these decisions behind the glass understands how ratings work. Understands how viewer attraction works.
That's true.
What is wrong with our ratings then? It's not working. Our download numbers on the video show. How are they doing, by the way, Lindsay?
Right.
How are we doing with the people watching our show?
Through the roof.
Where is it?
NFL.com/ATN video.
Oh, great. Okay, cool. Now I know where to find it, Greg.
You know what? While you're at it, get involved in a 1,000-foot by 1,000-foot shrubbery labyrinth and find like the jewel in the middle. That's how easy it is to find our video show on NFL.com.
Moving on. Hey, Jeremy Curley was cut by the Jets. The veteran wide receiver who was picked up off waivers earlier in the season. Before he was cut on Wednesday, he told reporters, you know, how did the illicit drugs get into his system? Curley responded, I don't know, according to NorthJersey.com. There's a lot of ghosts around here. Ghost put it in there. You know, the ghost of Christmas past? I don't know.
Whoa. This is spooky, guys.
Well, my question, this is...
starting to understand a little bit better why Curly's had trouble keeping a job the last couple of years.
Why? Because he's haunted by ghosts?
I don't know. Just
he probably lives in Connor Orr's house.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, here's a very real question. And I know the answer. I know Greg's answer. But I'm curious. But
well, start with Greg, then. I mean, why?
Yeah.
All right.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Do you believe in ghosts?
No.
Yeah. How about you guys?
I believe in spiritual sort of entities. I don't think it's like... oh, Mr. Jones died, and now there's the actual ghost of Mr. Jones.
Old man Jones.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I absolutely think that like we are using a small fraction of our brains, and you can sit around thinking everything that you see with your little eyes is all that is real, but I think there's much more happening in our world. Our world is very strange.
I agree.
I agree with that.
I completely agree with that. I've never seen a ghost, but I'm always afraid of seeing a ghost. So, like, I used to always get really freaked out by the Unsolved Mysteries shows where, like, there would be ghosts outside on the lake and stuff.
Yeah,
incredible accounts out there of some stuff that has multiple people reporting similar visions and instances coming from all different parts of the world to certain spots. So maybe it's all a sham. It's a highly organized sham.
My Aunt Sheila was very, very staunch and serious about fact that there was a woman named Farsetta who lived in the basement of their home.
No.
And I never saw Farsetta, even though I spent a lot of time at their house. But then I lived in Hollywood about 10 years ago, and we had been told that a woman has music. We had been told that a woman, unfortunately, the previous woman, her husband had died, and then she was like a pack rat, and she collapsed in the house and got stuck in the house and died in the house. And weird. We used to hear weird things all the time. Now the music is
static. No, I like it.
We used to hear weird things all the time in that house. And then one night we're watching movies, and maybe we weren't, you know, at 0.08 or below when we were watching this movie one late night. I will never forget it. I saw someone peek around into the living room area where we were watching television. And then, like, 2 weeks later, we heard footsteps upstairs.
No.
And we're like, hey, Brian. Hey, Brian. And we heard, like, drawers opening and closing. Brian, you want to come get lunch with us? We didn't hear it. We went up there. Brian's not up there.
That's freaky, dude. Yeah, one thing, that's a crazy story.
That's so
A lot
weird.
Of people that claim to see things and they're immediately dismissed are children. Also, animals have incredible sense to energy. And
But the thinking
adult just says, I've closed all that down, so you're a child. You're speaking rubbish. Go back to your room.
Greg, have we changed your mind on ghosts?
I mean, a lot of what Mark says, I totally agree with, that there's energy, that there's different things that we don't understand. I don't think the average adult does shut it down. I think actually the conventional wisdom is in favor of the ghosts, right? I mean, aren't most people at least believe on some level of different
I would
you know,
agree
powers.
That on some level, yes. Yeah.
I'm always waiting for it to happen. Which, like, I'm so desperate for it to not happen, but I will wake up in the middle of the night and I will be like, is there someone in the living room? That's me. That's how I wake up in the middle of the night, screaming.
And now to bring it all the way around, did a spirit taint Jeremy Curley's pee?
Mark.
Absolutely.
Okay. There you go.
The spirits don't gonna have anything better to do?
Before we move on, do you guys want to hear a little bit more from Puffy pitching his ownership pitch for the Carolina Panthers?
I could be down with this.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well, I need to send a message out to everybody in the beautiful state of North Carolina. I will be the best NFL owner,
to be fair,
that you can imagine.
I'm listening.
I will immediately address the Colin Kaepernick situation. And put him in the running for next year's starting quarterback. It's just competition, baby. It's just competition. But also...
Sorry, Cam.
Not a bad backup.
Hey, just competition.
I will have the best halftime show.
Oh, that is
the best
true.
Selection of music.
Mace every
And
week.
We will win.
And we will
bad news for Derek Anderson. You know.
Mace. Oh, that would be great. Get him
I mean, wait. Mace is available. Let's put it that way. If we can get Mace in there for 8 home games, a couple preseason games.
Swiss Beats, maybe?
Playoff game. Get Swiss Beats in there.
Our younger listeners feel
that means Alicia Keys, because they're married. So
get 112 in there. Remember 112?
112, yeah.
I think the way that the ownership group
Nelly.
Looks needs to probably change vastly. Not need, probably does, needs to. And why not open this up to lots of different types of people with different ideas to change the NFL experience?
Sure.
It needs to be changed.
Sure. They should trade back for Kelvin Benjamin with the tie in there.
Yeah.
All about like the Benjamins, a lot of like, you know, you can
like
that.
That's
into
great.
That.
As long as Busta Rhymes is somehow involved,
you
I'm
bust
in.
A bus in there. How about the idea of Biggie Smalls hologram? Get Faith Evans. You get 112.
Uh-huh.
And every halftime show, just do I'll be missing you.
Like, oh, my God.
That would be amazing.
Late at night when I pray for you. Every day
I pray for you.
When you can start to envision all sorts of aspects of it, it's a good idea. This
Late
maybe
night,
is a good idea.
I pray for you every day. I pray for you. All right. That's what's happening in the news. All right. Let's move on. Next seg.
Yeah.
A little industry talk for you. Playoff matchups we'd like to see the most. So the playoffs will begin. What is today? Today? December 19th.
2.5 weeks.
7 days.
There we go.
You can just approximate.
Greg's got the calculator out.
17 days.
A fortnight plus some.
Yes.
I don't think that's right, but.
Yeah, why not? Who's going to check, honestly? So at this point, let's. I don't want to hold anybody back. If you want to get crazy and talk Super Bowl, you can talk Super Bowl. But just in general, maybe more in the coming weeks, what we could see. How about the playoff matchups we'd like to see the most? Mark, get it going.
I know that everyone wants to just catapult a couple teams in the AFC right back into a rematch in the AFC Championship, but
But you've been telling us all season.
What?
That's what's going to happen.
Well, I picked a different team to go to the Super Bowl. It was the Chargers. And I understand that they kind of flopped big time against the Chiefs. But before that, they were the team in the AFC that I thought could beat anyone on the right day. And I don't think that the ingredients that made that true before the Chiefs game are necessarily untrue at this point. I think they can bounce back. They have games remaining against the Jets and Raiders. The doorway is there for them to get in. They're not in great position after that Chiefs loss, but it can happen. And I would like to see the Chargers go into the playoffs and drop a massive hammer on the Steelers.
Ooh.
And take the Steelers out of this thing, because A, I don't like the Steelers. Check out the sweater I'm wearing to start with. But secondly, enough. The Steelers had a chance to show us in their home field that they could get out of their own way and seal up a big victory.
Well, they
and their
did.
DNA.
And the catcher took
I don't them, simply but. Blame the refs for that game. Yeah. That's simple. That's
not the refs.
Simple.
It was the rule.
They absolutely had the DNA of a team that's going to flop in the AFC playoffs. I don't trust them. Mm. I want the Chargers to go deal with the Patriots. I think that's the team that has a chance to take New England out.
Whoa.
Let me just say, though, you are saying because the Steelers, quote-unquote, laid an egg or whatever at home against the Patriots in a game, a lot of people thought they deserved to win. But at the same time, 24 hours earlier, the Chargers laid a stink bomb in a huge game. So you're going to give the Chargers a pass, but say that the Steelers
all these teams are extremely
exposed.
Flawed. These teams are very flawed. These aren't superpower teams, and I'm tired of acting like we've got seven superpowers. There's a lot of average teams out
saying
here.
That.
I'm just saying, like, half these teams making the playoffs are not playoff material.
Well, there's a long history of teams having big-time stink bombs late in the season and going on a Super Bowl run. The Ravens lost 4 of 5 before doing it. The Cardinals got waxed a couple times late in the season, and then they ended up going to the Super Bowl. And the path for the Chargers is not too difficult. That's
like
right,
this.
Split screen. It's not too difficult. All they need is the big thing is they need the Titans to lose both of their games. That would really help. But the Titans play the Rams and the Jags. They're not beating any quality opponents. Then the Bills lose at New England, and the Chargers slip right in as a 6 seed. It's going to happen. I think it's happening.
This gets Tennessee out of our world.
That's fine. I'd be happy
That's
about
nice.
That. You know, I'd love that.
Your Patriots. You don't want to see the Patriots succeed, right? I am tired of the Steelers. And I have a much more strong opinion about the Steelers than the Patriots, to be honest.
Well, that's clear. I understand that. I don't know how you're going to be tired of the Patriots, too.
I'm not necessarily not tired of the Patriots, but the Steelers
are
ultra poison.
I am a little tired of the Patriots.
I'm a little tired of both, but it's like I can't change anything about the Patriots. They're going to handle their own business. Pittsburgh, not so much.
I want to see the Chargers in the playoffs, but we already saw the Chargers going to charger on Saturday.
No.
Am I totally confident they're not going to do it again now? Because they looked a lot like the
0-4
Chargers.
Yeah, but... Listen,
on Saturday.
This is what I want. This is not what probably will happen. It's, you know, I don't often get what I want in the NFL to begin with. So let's start there.
That was a very passionate, like,
The Steelers get me to the brink. They do.
Is there a way to do a split screen with Mark in both screens?
Well, like that.
Can you guys do
now
that?
Now we're actually, you know, we're giving the fans what they've been asking for weeks.
Wow.
All right. Next time Mark talks, let's just get him in the double split. This is the, if you've been like holding off on watching a video show, this is the show between the Dice Clay velour suit, Mark's sweater, all the split screen stuff. Yeah, let's see the split screen real quick.
Special episode.
Oh, that's
there
wow!
We go.
That's so
Merry
awesome.
Merry Christmas, Cleveland Browns fans.
That reminds me of like an Erica Tamposi tweet.
Yes, it does.
She comes up.
Yeah, that is definitely NFL.com/ATN video. All right, Connie.
Okay.
What playoff matchup would you like to see?
Mine is not nearly as passionate as Mark's, but.
Oh, good.
What I want to see is, I mean, come on, how am I going to follow that up? I would love to see the Eagles and the Vikings go up against each other the backup bowl. Backup quarterback bowl. Case Keenum, Nick Foles. Look, I think the Vikings are probably the toughest opponent for the Eagles to face in terms of matchup-wise because of that defense.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so good. But I would love to see these two teams play. I think we're probably going to.
And that would mean they're in the NFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. I don't know about probably. Probably feels strong. You got the Rams.
That means no Rams.
You got the Saints.
Yeah.
I kind of like the Rams.
I really was
going very nervous now.
The Nick Foles being more than competent makes me feel better about the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's nothing. It's just a split screen again.
Look at that. There's the sweatsuit.
Which way do I have to turn that way?
Okay. But... Do I think the Eagles are going to make it to the NFC title game? I think they got banged.
Only going to need
they
one.
Did.
Only going to need to win one home game now. They have clinched that bye.
This feels much more like an Eagles team that I can get used to.
Your greatest fear has occurred, and you can move on now.
Yeah, now I feel like, okay, this is
right.
This
it's true.
Is right.
Anything,
so the pressure is kind of off now?
Yeah.
Totally. If they win one playoff game with Foles, ultimately you're like, wow, that's pretty great.
Yeah, you just gave up almost 500 yards passing Eli Manning. Going to need to work on that. But
yeah.
That was so bad. That was so bad.
That was bad.
Like 38-year-old Eli without Odell Beckham.
I don't know what happened. I can't talk about it.
All right. I will throw out, yes, somebody has to do it. Steelers-Patriots playoff rematch. But this is what I want. I'm living with it. It's not going to be in Pittsburgh, which is going to be a major bummer in terms of leveling the playing field. Mm-hmm. But at least give me this, football gods. You were jerks again on Sunday. You are the worst.
Terrible.
You're terrible. Gods, your godless gods.
Well, that's gonna go over well up there.
You're threatening the gods.
Whatever they,
you
what
gotta,
can they do?
You got to bring a sacrifice. You
this
gotta,
is
you know.
This
you
is my quarterback them? Room. Josh McCown, broken left hand. Bryce Petty and Christian Hackenberg. Bring it on, guys.
They did you wrong.
Anyway, give me Antonio Brown as Antonio Brown in that game. I don't know. You heard him. Fix him for that game. Give me Le'Veon Bell. I don't want him on the exercise bike in the second quarter. I want Le'Veon Bell. And I don't want Tom Brady getting injured either. I don't want anything bad to happen to anybody. I just want both these teams at close to full strength. And I don't want the catch rule involved. Double screen. I don't want the catch rule involved. I don't want any shenanigans. I don't want a folded index card. I just want these two beasts of the AFC to play a game where the best team wins, and we know definitively.
Yeah.
On a neutral field, it would be great. On a Heinz field, it would be even better. Let's do it in Foxborough, and let's fly. Just give me that, football gods.
That's
what
a
I
lot.
Want to say.
If you wanted to be even greedier, you could ask for a Bills win in Foxborough this weekend, and the Steelers still get home field advantage.
There you go.
And now I fully don't expect that to happen. I think there's a very, very small chance of that to happen. But it's football. The Dolphins waxed the Patriots 2 weeks ago. No one in this room would have even considered that as a possibility. I'm just saying they haven't clinched home field yet. There is a chance.
Yeah,
I have an even better scenario.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
Football gods? Football gods, you want them to finally smile on you?
Yes.
That the Pats lose home field advantage.
Do it.
To Todd Bowles and the Jets, baby, in week 17.
Week 17. Yeah.
Forget the Bills. That would be, you could dance around the newsroom. You'd be just stripping clothes off as you go. You'll have a great old time.
Trust me, that did. I was looking at the schedule. If that was at the Meadowlands, I'd be like, oh, maybe it gets a little
even
weird.
Even better in Foxborough.
And there's a history of the Patriots doing that. They did it a couple of years ago, and that was why they were on
against
the road
Miami.
In Denver. They totally blew
yep.
home field advantage at the end of
if
the
Josh McCown was playing, I'd feel better about that.
Even better in Foxborough.
Right? Yeah.
Bryce Petty, or even better, Christian Hackenberg, throws four touchdowns and
Hack
knocks
attack.
Out New England.
One last thing to look forward to this Jets season, but I'm not obviously putting a lot of hope in that. Greg.
All right, I since we're so close and now we can really picture, you know, the matchup. I gave my whole dream wild card round, so I'm just going to roll through it quickly. This is the best possible entertainment for the wild card round. We got the Falcons at the Rams in Los Angeles.
Love it.
That's spicy. We got the Panthers and the Saints in New Orleans.
Slobber knocker.
The Chargers sneak in. Ooh, this is a fun one.
Like
Chargers,
this.
Jaguars.
Like
there's just a lot to like there.
Gus
and
Bradley
then, you know
revenge
game. I kind of stuck the two teams that I'm not too excited about together. Ravens at the Chiefs just to kind of, okay, that's the bad game.
Yeah.
That's the game that, you know, I'm not too scared.
That looks with Joey Bosa, Melvin Ravens Ingram coming on the edges. That is your Blake Bortles meltdown game.
Chargers at Jags. So that's my full weekend, and it's fairly real.
We are looking
love
at
that.
This. Greg sent this to the producers. They have it on screen in front of us. You nailed this. That would be because with that final matchup, Chiefs-Ravens, we don't want both of those moving on.
One of them's
knocking the other.
Christian, give Greg the double screen.
He gets
the
two screens.
That was nice.
I want two.
Double screen.
Can you give him three?
Oh, my God.
Give me three. All right, that's scary.
Yeah, wow. Greg, yeah. Great work.
This
yeah.
is
our audio listeners.
We're completely off the
drifting
rails.
Drifting off right. by the minute.
Oh, I got to go.
All right.
Yeah. hold on.
That's it for me. I have a very
the
important meeting to attend.
Your computer scenario. Here we go.
I cannot believe, by the way, you told me your power ranking show is going through the playoffs. What are you going to talk about?
I don't know. We're going to rank
I mean, everybody should watch it.
We're going to just keep on ranking.
Do you rank the teams that are out of the playoffs? Like if the Patriots lost in the first round, can they still be ahead of like the Jaguars? It doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, they should be.
Because then it's like before the Super Bowl, we're just ranking two teams.
I don't know how that works.
No, I think we rank all of them. I don't know. I got to go.
Is that an hour-long show?
Yep.
All right. Bye, Connie.
Hour-long show ranking two teams by the time you get to Super Bowl. That feels...
Well, if you ever need extra guests, Mark's got a great sweater.
There you go.
Dan and I can talk about teams. Everybody.
See you later, Connie Fox. All right. Finally, last thing before we get out of here. Yes, Kobe's number was retired. It really set Colleen for a loop last night. I did not catch the festivities, but if you know anything about Kobe Bryant's career, you know that he had two numbers. He started his career as number 8, and then about midway through, 24 he became, and they retired both those numbers, which seemed a little bit unnecessary, but changing your number felt unnecessary. Whatever. Now, little fun. Whose number would you retire? The NFL doesn't retire numbers like the NBA and certainly like baseball. They're a little bit – some teams, for instance, the Dallas Cowboys, no retired numbers.
Mm, got a couple candidates there.
Mm. But we are going to retire numbers. And it's not like, oh, well, I retire Emmitt Smith. No, let's dig a little deeper. We'll start with you, Mark. Whose number would you retire?
It is offensive to me that when I have tried to sit through these Browns games each week, that a wide receiver – who has already been, in trouble this year for staying out late and missing curfew and not really producing in his two seasons in the NFL, Corey Coleman is wearing number 19, which was once worn by the great, at least great in Cleveland, Bernie Kosar.
Mm.
The last quarterback, this is the problem in Cleveland. People can't remember any good quarterback play since Bernie Kosar outside.
That's the problem in Cleveland?
That is one of the problems. Oh, they've not found a quarterback. And it's true for a couple of these teams where, outside of one year where Derek Anderson signed some sort of deal with the devil, Bernie Kosar has been the last guy you can look back on and say, hey, that was our guy. We'd go to the stadium, you knew this guy was going to produce 300-plus yards, multiple touchdowns every game. There was one season in 89 where they simply relied on the deep ball almost exclusively. They couldn't run at all. He's been to 3 AFC championships. I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer. But in Cleveland, he is still someone attached to the team. He's still in that town. He's a hero in Cleveland. You want to talk about retiring a number? Number 19 is not someone you're going to give to a bunch of other quarterbacks and players anyway. Retire it now.
I mean,
should have happened 15 years ago.
Statistically, maybe he doesn't rank with the all-time greats, but he was an important player to fans of that franchise. It's similar in some ways, although maybe he had higher highs in a different sport, but Don Mattingly is a beloved figure in Yankees history, not a Hall of Famer, didn't have the longevity, but they retired his number without thinking twice because he was so important to the fans.
Right.
Kosar is a similar figure with Browns fans, correct?
Get it right.
Mm, that's fair. All right. I will, I don't know. Like, do I think Wayne Krebet's one of the great wide receivers of all time? Certainly not. But he's one of the great stories of all time. And he came around with the New York Jets at a time, a very highly impressionable time in my life. I think he was undrafted in 1995 at a Hofstra. The Jets used to train at Hofstra, and part of the deal with that Long Island-based higher education institution was they would be able to essentially submit a player from their roster to get a tryout. And that's how Wayne Krebet got in the door with the Jets. A horrendous Jets team. This was the first year of Rich Kotite, and Rich went 3-13 in year one, and then 1-15 in year two. Fired after that, and Krebet was the one shining light of that '95 season. The Jets get the first overall pick in '96 and take Keyshawn Johnson. And one of the first things Keyshawn does after his rookie season is write a book. Infamously titled Throw Me the Damn Ball, in which he grouses that Wayne Krebet was getting preferential treatment, and he labeled Krebet as a mascot for the team. And as you can imagine, Krebet, who is at this point now a young star on the team, and Keyshawn, the number one pick, in the same wide receiver room, a little bit awkward. But Krebet always kind of was classy about it. He was a local guy from Garfield, New Jersey, exit 157 off the Garden State Parkway. And so it was just good to see him have a really nice extended career. He had a huge catch in the Monday Night Miracle game in that great comeback against the Dolphins. And later on, when Keyshawn barked his way out of New York and went to the Bucks, he talked trash on Wayne Krebet one more time. I think he had some Krebet had a unfortunate nickname, like the Green Lantern, I think it was. And Keyshawn made some type of negative comment. And Curtis Martin, on a halfback toss throw, beat the Bucks in Tampa on a throw to Krebet to beat Keyshawn in their first matchup. That was really nice. So Wayne Krebet was a great Jet, unheralded Jet, and a real underdog for the ages.
And incredibly reliable. Three seasons with 8-plus touchdowns, 1,000-yard a year. And honestly, he was always the Jets guy. I get with Keyshawn Martin, and he was a good player, but Wayne Krebet was just so much more likable. I loved watching those Jets teams with Krebet.
My favorite third-down receiver in Jets history as well. The guy was nails. Greg?
I think there is something about the slot, the small slot receiver that people just end up liking. And
yeah.
That's my choice to retire a number in New England. Let's retire Troy Brown's number 80. Because who is more of a Patriots player and more of the symbol of what happened to really turn around the franchise in the beginning part of the last decade than Troy Brown? The first championship, I think, for a franchise is always going to be the most special. And his performance in the AFC Championship game, which was an even bigger upset than the Super Bowl to follow in terms of the point spread and everything in Pittsburgh against a one-loss Steelers team where he returns, I think, what was his third kick of the year for a touchdown. He also picks up a blocked punt and laterals it, and that goes for a touchdown.
Drew Bledsoe in there.
One of the great special teams players. Made a great defensive play. When he forced a fumble after an interception in San Diego. And those were the types of plays that Troy Brown would make year after year. In 2004, he famously played cornerback for much of the year when they were short on injuries. And to me, he is Mr. Patriot, especially early 2000s Mr. Patriot. And I'd love to see him recognized.
Pre-throne of ease.
Oh, yes.
This is when the Patriots weren't a team that a lot of people despised and hated to see win all the time. So Troy Brown was kind of plucky and like Krebet on some level, an underdog guy that was easy to root for.
And he was on the team for 4 or 5 years, 5, 6 years special teamer before he really ended up doing something. People remember him as a 1,000-yard receiver, but that took a long time before
1993
that
to 2007. And, you know, he's one of the first guys where you started seeing these think pieces and long forms about Belichick liking a player that you could use in so many different ways. And there have been so many iterations of Troy Brown since, and yet he's the one that we can all get behind, because it's a time when I was rooting for those Patriots to beat the Rams, and I was rooting for them to beat those Steelers. Drew Bledsoe coming in for Tom Brady in that AFC Championship.
All those men we've just mentioned, Bernie, Wayne, and Troy, had Shoulders of Greatness presented by Head and Shoulders.
We gave that little shampoo company more than they were bargaining for.
I got it in there.
Time.
Speaking of former Patriots, I wanted to get this in on Sunday's show, but we didn't. Did track down the Zolak call. Apparently his head did not explode, the WBZ color man, who last time we heard him on this podcast, he was celebrating Gronk giving another man a brain injury. Class act all the way. That's Scotty Zolak. But now we assume, and we all remember his call after the Patriots defeated the Falcons in overtime of the playoffs. That was a man in ecstasy. I would think Big Ben's pick would probably get Scotty fired up, right? Scotty too hottie.
Third and goal to go from the six. Roethlisberger under center, drops back. He pumps. He throws toward the middle. It's back incomplete. Intercepted by Harmon. Deflection to Harmon. An interception in the end zone. The Patriots are going to win in Pittsburgh.
I mean, I don't know what to say anymore. I really don't.
You and me both, buddy.
I guess part of the agreement, if you're the play-by-play guy attached to Scott Zolak, is that every time I have a game-altering massive call, you're going to just talk over me in drunken shouts and make sure that your message, you know, supersedes mine entirely.
Scotty too hottie Zolak with the call. All right. That's it. That's it for today's show. We will be back on Thursday. Oh, a little program note. Our Sunday flagship show, because it falls on Christmas messes things up. So there are 14 games on Christmas Eve. We are not going to do a show Christmas Eve night. We have families. You know, what are we doing? This is football, ultimately. So we're going to go see our families. And then there's...
Is Daddy ever coming back?
Also, we did. We attempted this show in the past, and the ratings were awful. So
not great.
That's
so,
factors
in.
We did it last.
So then there's two games on Christmas Day, of course. You will hear our flagship show where we go over Week 16. That will be Tuesday morning.
And that way we get the Christmas games
yeah.
in there.
Get all the games in there, and hopefully everyone will be not so busy with the holidays, and I think it will work out for everybody. So it's going to be a little A-B test, if you will. We're going to see how you listeners respond to it. But yes, that's.
And if this does poorly, we will be working on Christmas Eve next year. So
the good news is the calendar works out in our favor for the next four or five years.
Yeah, we have a solid 4 or 5 year break till.
Thank you, Earth Calendar.
It's back.
But the next time you'll hear from us is the regularly scheduled time Thursday, where we will preview all the Week 16 games. Until then, this is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, Connie Fox, the old boss. You don't mess with a Fulton and Christian Anderson behind the glass. Till Thursday!